Embrace the Spoilers is going to some pretty strange places this week because we're covering Black Mirror. And we'd like to warn you that there are spoilers ahead. And I would almost say spooky, but maybe a better choice of words is an unsettling welcome, everyone, to Embrace the Spoilers with me, Garrett, and her, Jocelyn, where we will be covering season 4 of Black Mirror. And by covering, I mean spoiling the ever-living out of it. So, hey, Joss, I'm getting in here acting all wacky because it's about to get weird in here.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this, actually, because Black Mirror is something that we stumbled upon. I don't know if, we had series 1 and 2 before, like, on Netflix, because we often get a lot of British and BBC material on our Netflix before Netflix actually officially picked it up for season 3 and 4. So Matt and I have been Black Mirror fans for quite a while, and I was glad when it got picked up by Netflix because they used to have like the typical British TV thing where they have like years in between seasons, and then you get like 2 or 3 episodes and then you're like, where's everything else and why do I have to wait forever? So now Netflix has picked them up and it's, you know, 6 episodes, longer seasons. They're, you know, annual seasons instead of waiting forever. So I'm really excited to talk about this because you are totally new to Black Mirror. So you had just started watching with season 4, which with yep. Black Mirror you can do because it's like Twilight Zone. Like there's no continuity between episodes. They're like one-off things that just explore a topic in tech and take it in very creepy directions.
yeah. I got a pretty solid Twilight Zone vibe from this. I got a really solid Doctor Who vibe from this. Doctor Who has a through line in the character of the Doctor, but most episodes are Monster of the Week, kind of one-off conceptual science fiction / fantasy capers.
Right, so this takes that just that one step further because it's definitely like Monster of the Week, but there aren't even characters like actors or anything else that follow through one episode to another. They're all totally standalone. So if, listeners, you are currently thinking, oh man, I have to watch all first 3 seasons before I even get into this, before I can even listen to this episode of Embrace the Spoilers, not true. If you want to pick up with season 4, you can do that right now and get caught up before you even know it. Because I watched all these episodes New Year's Eve. That was what we did for New Year's Eve. We'd been traveling for Christmas the whole week before. We got home on like New Year's Eve day and we're just like, we're not doing anything. We're just going to sit on the couch and be bums and watch Black Mirror.
I am not sure that I would want to begin a new year with the state that this show left my brain in. I'm coming to this from
it does make you think in all episodes, in all ways. It does make you think.
Yes. And sometimes I think this is kind of silly.
But we'll get to that. That is a thought that one could have.
We'll get to that in a bit. I've only seen season 4. Overall thoughts, I enjoyed it rather immensely. Both Katie and I did, but we watched the first episode, enjoyed it, watched the second episode, we're like, that's cool. It didn't really have our hooks in it. Like, we had a couple day gap, I think, between watching the second episode and then the third. But then at a certain point, we were just like, oh my God, yeah, I just want to wrap this up, even though there's nothing really ushering you into the next episode in terms of like dangling plot threads or anything.
Yeah, there's no like cliffhangers or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, by the end of it, we were like, wow, we really like this. We're definitely going to go back and watch the others. We were about to do it right away, but then we got sidetracked by catching up on Shameless, but it's neither here nor there. Definitely will be.
I would just say maybe like watch the first episode, like not necessarily with a grain of salt, but just it's really weird.
I've heard nothing good. About the first episode of Black Mirror.
It explores some really interesting ideas around like the power of like social media and public opinion, but it takes it way, way, way too far, and it's really, yeah.
And
it's something else.
Okay. I mean, I watched an episode of The Orville that did that as well. So This show also reminds me of the Orville, by the way.
Don't take, like, series one, episode one, don't take that as, like, what all of early Black Mirror is. Just, like, push through that one, even skip it if you want to, and because there's some real good stuff in the first season.
Well, I'm already sold, so we're good. We're totally solid. I find it funny, and I want to share this with everyone, because probably the next time we talk about Black Mirror, I will have seen all of it. My experience with people explaining the first episode of Black Mirror to me is pretty much the exact same experience I have explaining the first episode of Doctor Who to anyone. Mm-hmm. And by the first episode, I mean the first episode of its return, because it's not a reboot. It technically just keeps going from the original series. But that first episode is terrible. Like, absolute.
Is that the one with the, like, alien people?
You could not have made a more blanket statement about basically every episode of Doctor Who. Every episode of Doctor Who has alien people
that, like, look like people, but then aren't actually people. They're like lizard people or something. I don't really remember it. I tried to watch it years ago.
I
want to
say that's episode three, episode one, the very first one with Christopher Eccleston, whom I love dearly as the Doctor. He did not have a long enough run. Had mannequins, Jocelyn. Had mannequins that came to life and tried to kill people, and it is dumb. It is just dumb. If you know that the Doctor is an alien, not a human, even though he looks like a human, and he's got a blue box that travels through time and space, that's all you need to know. Just start at episode two. Just skip episode one entirely. It's bad.
I feel like I must have watched the original then, because I think I made it through either two or three episodes. I can't remember. The last episode I watched was with the last ever human being that was, like, stretched to the point of just being.
That's the second episode.
Okay. Of the reboot?
Of the reboot, yeah.
Oh. Interesting. Well, anyway, I made it there and just went, I can't do this.
Oh, I love that episode. I am a big fan of the second episode. Anyways. I digress.
We are not reviewing that right now.
No, but get ready for more Doctor Who references, because I'm probably going to bring them up, because this show made me think of Doctor Who a lot. Yeah, before we get into Black Mirror, real quick, if you're interested about the future of the show, the patrons have voted over at patreon.com/DTS if you want to become a patron and do things like vote or suggest entire episode subjects and topics. But in March, we will be covering Tomb Raider, which we had already kind of set in stone, but you all voted, and Pacific Rim 2 won. So,
I feel like I swayed that vote a little, and I don't even feel bad about it.
I feel as an accomplice, and I feel as joyous as an accomplice would if he helped in a successful bank robbery with no repercussions. That's where I'm ready. I'm ready for Pacific Rim 2. Bring it on. I can't wait to rewatch Pacific Rim 1 in preparation for Pac Rim 2.
Yep.
Yeah, bring it on. So thank you for voting, everyone. Thank you to our patrons over at patreon.com/UTS. And if you like this show and you want to support it and you want to unlock more episodes, because we have a goal for that, head on over there and check it out. But now it is time to talk about Black Mirror, which started in 2011, was created by Charlie Brooker, continues to, I think, like every damn episode, he has a hand in penning. And it stars a lot of people. A lot.
Like everybody.
Yes, yes. Everybody. A lot of European actors, but not just European actors. So
even a dude from Mad Men. He was in an episode last season.
Don Draper.
Yes, Don Draper. Yes.
Man who what played Don Draper? I forget his actual name. It's eluding me at the moment. Having never seen Mad Men, I know him as an extremely funny guy, because he shows up in a lot of comedy and he's very good in it. But we're going to be going in order of the episodes today, because I'm not sure how the hell else we would even do it, as there is no, as we mentioned, no through line. But overall, what did you think of season four? I've already kind of talked about how I enjoyed it.
I very much liked it. I mean, like I mentioned, we are huge fans of Black Mirror. I like the general take that they have on tech. I think the ideas that they have are close enough, like, rooted in our current society and current technology, that I can kind of see the line there between where we are now and, you know, where these episodes end up. And that, to me, is always my most, the kind of sci-fi that I enjoy. It's part of the reason why I loved Horizon Zero Dawn so much, is because they went into a lot of detail about, like, what happened from the year 2000 until, you know, the apocalypse, and I could like make those connections and see how it happened and understand how the world got to where it is, even though it was, you know, thousands of years later. So yeah, I like that in my sci-fi because I like it to be a little bit grounded. Once you start talking, you know, like years and years and years in the future and tech is just, I think we talked about this a little bit actually with Black Panther last week where you were saying where tech is just magic. Like,
yes,
and yeah. I can't see how we get there. I like it. Sci-fi loses it a little bit for me, but this very much takes like a, we made a tech thing. We had all the good intentions, but then here's ways it could be exploited or, you know, used for bad purposes and things like that. And like, here's all the bad things that could potentially come from the tech that we currently have. I think it's super, super compelling.
Yes. Yeah. Overall, I really like it. There's I was surprised how few times I went, that's silly. Overall, I was in for the ride. And even the couple times I was kind of like, I'm not buying this. It was whatever. I was able to get over it pretty quickly.
And the things I find I don't buy are usually like people's choices and people's motivations more so than like the technology that they're showing. I can usually look at the tech and go, oh, yeah, I can see like why that would have been developed, why it would be used the way it's used and, you know, all that. Like usually when episodes take a turn I don't like, it has to do with choices that they've made with the characters and not the tech. So that's why, like, yeah. I find Black Mirror really, it's a very smart show, I think.
I left this show feeling like it would be Campfire Stories if the campfire was on Google's campus.
Yeah, like this is like tech ghost stories. Yeah.
Yeah. And once I kind of had that in my head, it was a much easier ride. Like, if you kind of get over nitpicking. It's a lot of fun. It reminds me of Twilight Zone, of Are You Afraid of the Dark, of Doctor Who, of all of these other kind of conceptual borderline spooky stories. And because they never get everything right, they never nail everything perfectly. But I would say that I think Black Mirror hits it better than any of those other examples that I give. Especially, I keep comparing the Doctor Who, and I think Black Mirror took its concepts and presented them in a much more more finely tuned, more greatly realized kind of expression than anything I ever seen happen on Doctor Who. Doctor Who always looks like they just go to the bin in the back of a studio lot and like, all right, we're going to reuse this laser gun from Starship Troopers. We're going to just throw this lizard head on somebody and call it done. Whereas this, I felt like they really kind of went the extra mile to design something that looks like it belongs in this universe. There's a lot of cohesion but between how the tech actually looks in between episodes, even though they have nothing to do with one another, which I really liked, with the exception of probably my least favorite episode. We'll get to that when we get there. But yeah, just overall, I thought it was good. And I think it also, like, most of it takes place in modern day, so they have that going for them where they can just go shoot on location, whereas, you know, competing shows in this space kind of have to make stuff from scratch. But still, I just really enjoyed it. But let's get into the first episode. But before I even watched this season, I saw photos and articles and hot takes and ravenously happy reviews of the episode USS Callister all over the place. So I went in thinking, like, is this thing going to, like, blow my mind? Is this the Citizen Kane of serialized, like, one-off television shows?
Yeah, and I feel like I had a similar experience, but I was trying to avoid any kind of spoilers, so I didn't actually go in and read any reviews or figure out why exactly everybody loved this episode so much. But being a fan of Black Mirror, I was like, okay, like, all of everybody who I follow online who happened to be a whole bunch of geeks seem to love this first episode. And really, it's the reason why we decided to just watch Black Mirror on New Year's, is we were just like, well, everyone's talking about season 4. It's out now. Everyone's really excited. Like, we should just, you know, get on the bandwagon, get this over with, sort of thing. And so, yeah, my expectations, and it might be part of the reason for my feelings on episode 1, but my expectations for this episode were really, really high. And to be honest, I didn't really know what to expect because, like I said, I hadn't read anything. So all I kind of knew was it was like Star Trek-y or Star Trek inspired. And so, like, we kind of watched the beginning and I felt like I was watching an episode of Star Trek. And I'm like, I don't really understand what's happening here. Like, this isn't very Black Mirror-y.
Oh, man, I loved the opening so much. They had like the old film effect. Like it just looked like it looked like an episode of the original series with even worse costumes. and that was just fun. But you're right. I kind of had a vague notion of where we were going, just because I feel like I kind of sopped up a decent amount of Callister via osmosis. I didn't go out and read any of the reviews at all, but just seeing enough like headlines on tweets was enough to give me a vague idea of what was going to be happening in this episode. I just didn't know how dark it was going to get. This episode goes to some pretty dark places, but also a lot of it, this episode, I think more than any of the others, really depends on your buy-in. Like, and specifically, I think where you fall on the question it asks of you, like, basically, I think this episode is asking you, do you think AI is alive? I don't think it is. So I watched all this heinous stuff happen, and I'm just sitting there being like, I've done worse things at Grand Theft Auto.
Whereas, okay, so maybe that's the reason, because I think this is the most divisive episode of all of Black Mirror season 4 between the two of us. Most of the time for the other five episodes, our opinions are pretty on point, very close to the same, like maybe a couple of hangups here and there. But on the whole, we have the same, I would say, like list of like favorites to least favorites, except for this episode, like was my least favorite of the whole season. I hated this episode. And I think it's because the idea that these aren't just like artificial intelligences, that they're copies of people with all of the memories of those people, is I think where it's my sticking point, right? Like these are clones of people made with their DNA that have all their memories. So it's basically like they've just like split off from their real world counterparts, and you now have two copies of a person, one of which is being like kidnapped and tortured and put into slavery, and it's like one step short of rape only because of the whole no genitals thing. And there were some funny moments in there, and I know that's one of like your favorite moments. I can see you laughing right now on camera. Like
I could watch Jimmy Simpson smack his dickless crotch all day long.
And I love Jimmy Simpson. That was going to be one of my pros for this episode, was just the acting in the episode was phenomenal. It was really well done, and the whole episode was very like edge of your seat. But for me, like it was the longest episode of the season, and it was a lot to process and work through. And I know that it probably has a lot to do with so basically it kind of what happens is you've got Daly, who's the captain of the spaceship, which you find out is actually an immersive VR. And what he's done is figured out a way to scan the DNA of people that he works with and have slighted him in some way. He scans their DNA in, and they essentially make up his crew on his ship in this virtual reality video game that he's built. That is this little like mod onto a larger multiplayer online game that actually, for me, reminded me a lot of like No Man's Sky. Right? Like spaceships, infinite universe, all that kind of stuff.
I had just started reading Ready Player One. I was maybe 100 pages deep when we watched this episode. And since they never really explicitly state what the game is, I took it as there's just everything in this game. Mm. You could take a spaceship to Azeroth and then not use your spaceship anymore once you're there. something of that nature.
It did seem very like infinite and Oasis-y, because if you guys haven't read Ready Player One, that's what the immersive VR in Ready Player One is called, is the Oasis.
It's a game with basically every game inside it.
Yeah. I can totally see that. So that's the basic like premise of this, is that now he's got all of his coworkers clones in his VR experience where he is the ultimate master. He controls the code. He controls everything about their experience, and they just have to basically play along. And I think that that's like what I was unable to like get past, is like it was too, I guess, hit too close to home for me, because I've been in like abusive relationships before, and I've been in abusive relationships with even bosses before. So the idea of like just the feeling of powerlessness when there's like some dude has all the control, I think I just couldn't wrap my head around that and kind of move on to enjoy the episode potentially. I was just like, I have very strong feelings of dislike for this show right now. Like, I don't even know if I want to watch the rest of the episode, let alone the season. It was a really rough start for me with Black Mirror season 4.
I'm going to preface my rebuttal with, I do not want to kill my boss, but this is certainly a cautionary tale. The boss most certainly gets his in the end. And having also had bosses in my past with whom I greatly disliked and butted heads with, I don't know, I guess I was just like, yeah, you put him into a zombified state of mental purgatory.
Yeah, and I guess that's the other thing about this episode for me is that in the end, it's one of the things where very rarely in Black Mirror do you actually get a like positive, satisfactory justice ending. Like, most of the time these episodes are pretty bleak.
Yeah, I'd say this episode has one that has a happy ending. Two, if you really stretch, I would say, a common man's definition of a happy ending.
So with all that being said, I don't even know, like, so in the end, basically Daly is trapped by, so the kind of clones figure out a way to blackmail one of their real world counterparts into helping them by like hacking her cloud account and threatening to send her nudes out to the world. So she goes and does some stuff to help them. And so in the end, Daly gets stuck in his own simulation. And it kind of like leaves it there. But if you kind of stop to think about it, you're just like, okay, so he's left in this zombified state, but I don't really think anyone is going to miss him or go check on him. So it's very likely that he's just going to starve and die. So they've kind of killed someone. And not only that, but the members on the ship are not the only people that Daly has stuck in there. We meet like they go out on a mission and we meet some what would traditionally be like NPCs and monsters who are made up of like Jill from accounting or something. And she's been turned into this like horrible monster thing. And then there's this like other guy who's like Daly's nemesis. And it's just like when Daly leaves the game, they sit there and chat and have a conversation. So there are these other clones of people that are now stuck that didn't make it out on the ship. Like, what happens to them? Do they just, are they in total blackness, just floating in nothingness forever? Like, it's not quite the happy ending that maybe you think it is.
I took it as he's just dead straight up right there. Like it just him being in there when it went down blue screened his brain. He's just dead. He might be a vegetable, but I'm pretty sure he's dead. and with that, I kind of took it as if you were still in there when that thing closed up and they wrecked everything, that you were probably just deleted.
That's the thing. Like, so it could have been a deletion, or it could have just been that now his mod is like just like on his own computer sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It just it was a really weird episode for me that didn't have a big payoff and was really long and took the whole, like, this whole entire show is about creepy, intrusive tech. That's what Black Mirror is. And this took it a little bit too far for me. But again, I feel like that's my own like Jocelyn lens of viewing the world, because I've been through some really crappy stuff. So if I hadn't been through all that crappy stuff, I might have been able to kind of like push past that a little bit more, because there were some good themes. There were some good acting. I mean, the fact that was it Cole was the tech that he scanned in last that made them all rebel. Like, she did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
There were some high points in this episode, and it was good writing. It just, I couldn't get past the feeling it gave me. So it was my least favorite episode by far.
I mean, it's certainly fair. And I think the purpose of all of this, one of the least favorite, my least favorite episode in this series, I think is as low as it is because I think it went too far. It went to a point where I was just like, I have trouble reconciling when we go that deep down the rabbit hole. So I can completely understand that. But I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe you're just not as vindictive as I am. Because I have had some terrible bosses with whom I did not like at all and really kind of beat me down. And by the end of this, I felt justice had been served. But this is also the one there's talk about this spinning off into its own thing, which in my brain is the crew as it stands, kind of exploring this, you know, infinite kind of, we basically get Ready Player One the series without having to pay any royalties. and in my head, that sounds really fun. And that's something I do want to see more of. But
I guess I kind of saw news that this was getting a spinoff too, and then assumed that somehow it would involve the Daily character. And I was just like, no.
Cool if he showed back up as a big bad though, but like only as some kind of weird, in-game virus thing that somehow has taken on his form. I don't know. I think that could be interesting. But of all of them, this is the only... No. There's two of them. This is one of them where I would like to see more in this vague setup. But what I'm talking about with what I would like from a Callister spinoff is way different from this one standalone episode.
Right, yeah. And I feel like if there was some sort of Black Mirror spinoff with the whole idea of the USS Callister crew and their adventures in... I can't remember what the game was called now. Anyways, it doesn't really matter. Their adventures in space, then, I mean, obviously it's going to be a very different show. It's not going to be another Black Mirror. It's not going to be even the spiritual successor to Black Mirror. It's literally going to be like Jimmy Simpson and Kristen Milioti?
Milioti, I think.
Like,
I don't know.
And their adventures throughout space, which I'm not saying would be a bad show, but it's definitely not going to be like Black Mirror 2.
No. But I want an adventure show as the spinoff is what I'm saying. I don't want it to be another horror. I mean, if it's vaguely space travel, you can always have a space horror episode here and there, which is great and fun.
You're saying space horror.
Yeah, space horror.
You can do that too.
That's what you see when you tune into Showtime past 3 a.m. I don't know, Babes from Mars or something. but yeah, I want a more adventure-based spinoff. We don't need to keep it some weird tech invasion of your privacy theme. But whatever the case is, I overall did end up enjoying it quite a bit. And I don't think we really talked about Jesse Plemons, who played Daly, but he got to play two very different characters, like him in The Office just being this total putz, and then a mix of just doing his best William Shatner from the original series and then also just being a total evil piece of shit.
Yes.
Yeah, which...
It was definitely not an easy role to play. And I find it really interesting because I don't think I've ever seen him in a role where I've been rooting for him.
I've
seen him in other stuff, but...
The only other thing I've seen him in is Breaking Bad, and he's basically a Boy Scout Nazi. Like, he has the demeanor of a dweeby Boy Scout, but he's a neo-Nazi. So, it's weird and creepy. He's good at it.
He's good at weird and creepy. That's something you want on your resume.
Well, I've seen so many interviews of the guy, and it must be a damn good actor, because in his interviews, he seems like the most likable dude ever. But anyway, let's move on and talk about Archangel, which was directed by Jodie Foster. Yes, that Jodie Foster, written by...
She's actually been doing a lot of directorial work in the last, 10 years.
Has she? I mean, I haven't seen her in movies.
She just left movies and she's just been kind of writing and directing as opposed to acting.
All right, get out of here, actress column. Oh, yeah, she got 10 directorial credits.
Which I feel like is a really good choice for her. Not that she was a bad actress, obviously, but she's a fantastic director. I really liked Archangel. I thought it was a lot of the shots even were things that I wouldn't think that they would do. Like a lot of the stuff that was like from the teenage girl's perspective. I was like, whoa, they're actually going to show this. Okie doke.
Yeah, they left nothing on the table, in my opinion, with this one. Like all of the I'm apparently a pervert. Black Mirror has brought this out in me that I still have a pervy ass 13-year-old mind, because at the beginning of this, okay, not at the beginning, but the second we see her age into teenage years, my brain just starts going, oh, I know where this is going, and it's nowhere PG rated. And they went to all of those places and even further. Apparently, I don't have a druggy mind because I did not see, you know, running a line of coke as something that was foreshadowed in this. But everything else pretty much lined up with my really gross expectations.
Basically, like, think of every bad thing you did as a teenager that there's no way you would ever want your parents to know. And that's exactly what this episode is about, is that now her parent not only knows that she's doing it, but has a front row seat to all her experiences.
Well, now I just feel I revealed too much of my teenage years, because I think maybe the only reason I didn't see the coke line coming is because about the only thing I didn't do when I was a teenager was any drugs. All right. Well, this is getting personal. Let's talk about Archangel specifically. compared to the whole season, this was very human. This is very, like, it's all dramatic, but this really felt like they were just going hard for the drama. And I think they nailed it. I watched everything, I went and read a bunch of reviews, and Archangel seemed to be pretty low on most of the review totem poles. And I don't really understand why.
I think it's just because, I mean, okay, so we should preface all of this by saying neither Garrett nor I are parents. So I think that's why it kind of touches on a lot of really controversial parenting points. And especially, like, nowadays, I feel like people are becoming more and more and more and more protective of their kids. And then, I mean, like, I remember my parents just being like, yeah, whatever, like, as long as you're home before the streetlights come on, it's fine. And, you know, like, we didn't necessarily have, you know, the run of everything, but, you know, we definitely had a lot more freedom than I feel like people tend to give their kids nowadays.
Yeah, we had the run of our neighborhood. We couldn't leave. It was a cul-de-sac. It was a very long road, though. As long as we weren't allowed to go out onto the main road. But there
was exactly. Yeah, it was same with us. Like, we had our subdivision, which included our schools and then, you know, like, but we and playgrounds and stuff and soccer fields. But, like, as long as we didn't cross any main roads, we kind of had the run of that, like, couple of miles squared. I'm using American terms.
Yeah.
I had to do a quick conversion in my head there, but that's about around the kind of space we had to play in. And I feel like, you know, if you're outside of a parent's range for 10 minutes these days, they assume you've been kidnapped. And I know that that's a gross generalization. And this, I think, is the core of why this episode is really controversial, is because it's like people who don't have kids, like myself, it's very easy for me to look at my friends who have kids and go, whoa, you are way too overprotective. Like, you need to, like, cut the umbilical cord already. But I don't have kids, so it's so easy for me to say that. And I feel like this episode kind of says that in a way. So basically, the way it starts off and what kicks off this whole use of tech is that the mother, Marie, has a daughter, Sarah, and Sarah goes missing when she's young, like 2 or 3.
Very young, and,
Yeah, very, very young. She kind of wanders off. She's found, not hurt, and within a couple of minutes sort of thing, but it's enough to scare Marie to try this program, which essentially puts an implant into Sarah and control, or like sends location and vital information to the mother. But on top of that, gives her a video feed of what her child is seeing. So good intentions on the surface, you know, monitor your child, make sure it's easy to diagnose medical emergencies. If your kid goes missing, you've got a location and you can see, so you know if they're in danger or not. Like, best intentions, but it also has the functionality of editing out all the bad things. So, like, for instance, anything that causes I can't remember what chemical it is in your brain, but basically anything that triggers the fight or flight response, you can just blur out. And it's like, but if you never learn what's bad,
right? Like, how do you know to avoid it or how to react to it? And I thought the show took it in multiple very interesting directions, to the point of, I mean, it touches on self-harm. The more creative way I thought was the grandfather having a heart attack and how that's blurred out. And it's like, Well, wonderful. 911 could have been called a lot sooner had you not had that stupid filter. And this was my first instance of watching Black Mirror going, that's silly, which was the sight thing. The sight thing specifically, I was like, I don't know if they're ever going to be able to do that, like ever, until we find Black Panther magic tech. I take that back. The DNA scanner in Callister, I also was like, that's silly. You just took a 3D printer and stuck a lollipop in it and expected me to believe that you can craft a fully functioning, extremely specific human AI based off of that. But neither here nor there. Once I quickly got over the kind of the sight tech here in Archangel. But although if you remove that, I want this for myself. I want my own vitals like to that much of a T. I want my phone to scold me every time I eat a potato chip. I need that. I really do.
And I feel like that would be, it's almost like that's the gateway, right? You feel like, oh yeah, well, I would really want that kind of monitoring for myself, like a location chip. So if anything bad ever happens to me, I can be found instantly. You know, like if I'm constantly being scanned for cancer, and like, I mean, any hypochondriac would be like, yes.
Yeah. Please. Yeah. No longer do I need to
instantly know exactly what's wrong with you, if anything.
Yeah.
Of course, then they might just think their chip's malfunctioning if it says they're fine. So there's that. But
and no longer do I need to Google stomach pain and find out that I have a xenomorph growing in my chest.
There you go.
You know, it could just tell me, oh, you have a xenomorph, or no, you just shouldn't have had that pork. That's I would love that kind of clarity.
Exactly. So, but I feel like that's kind of like the gateway is self-monitoring and peace of mind for yourself that turns into, well, if I want to keep myself safe and if I feel this is safe for myself, I clearly want all of my loved ones to have this as well. And then like, oh, well, you know, as great as it is to know where my kid is, like maybe I want some more information. And, you know, like you can kind of make those leaps about how this could snowball into a program like this crazy overprotective iPad of parenting that just, and it takes over Marie's life too, which emphasis I found was really interesting.
Eye. Huh? Sorry. It was a bad joke. I said emphasis on the eye in iPad. Sorry. I couldn't keep it in. I apologize.
That's okay. But it takes over Marie's life a lot too, because then she stops living for herself and she's now just living for the iPad and watching her kid obsessively. Like,
yeah,
she's no longer paying attention to her own world.
Yeah. And that's the balance I think this episode struck surprisingly well. I do feel it's judging the mother.
Yes.
But
100%.
Not overly. Because I feel there are multiple times, too, where, like, you know, when the daughter does coke, I think the show is like, she probably shouldn't have done that coke. And I'm like, yeah, she probably should. Like, there are times where I think the judgment of the episode shifts to the other party, and it, mm-hmm. and it goes back and forth. I think it certainly leans in the direction of the mother a little, maybe too hard. Like in the opening scene where she's giving birth and she's like nagging the doctors because they're not saying anything back to her. I think the show is trying to make me think that she's kind of a control freak. But in reality, I'm just going, these doctors are terrible people. They're not saying anything back to this woman that just gave birth.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It does kind of shift the blame. So it starts off with Marie wanting to be protective, but then in the end, she makes the right choice because she turns the system off and it shows her weakness when she turns it back on. But the reason that she turns it back on is because her daughter, I mean, is being a typical teenager, but her daughter is lying to her in a place where they had an open, honest relationship previously. But then, you know, obviously it's a breach of trust of Marie then, because she had agreed never to turn the system back on. So then once Sarah finds out that the system's back on and all of the things that her mother has done, including even killing her unborn child without Sarah's knowledge, like, holy hell, that was, you know, talk about turning points.
Yeah, that's where the scale slides firmly and permanently to the direction of mother judgment.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's that's just where it gets super effing creepy beyond any reconciliation. That's the point where I'm like, okay, gloves are off. However this ends for the mother, she deserves it.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is how you're supposed to feel when it comes to this episode, because, I mean, in the end, like, Sarah does some pretty terrible things to her mother. And it ends in Sarah basically abandoning her, like running away. Pummeling her within an inch of her life first.
Which may have been a little strong, but.
Well, but the thing is, too, Sarah couldn't even really see what she was doing.
Yeah.
Because of the blurred vision thing, she was taking out her anger. So she had to know she was doing damage, but she had no idea how bad it was and how far she'd taken it because of what Marie had done with the whole blurring her vision when she's in her fight or flight response mode, basically. So she's currently fighting and doesn't know when to stop. So she has no ability to kind of like moderate her own emotions because she's not being given all the information of the situation. It was just, oh man, like I really liked Archangel. I thought it was very well done. And I did like all the back and forth. It's like you weren't always just rooting for, you know, good guy, teenager, bad guy, mother. It did flip flop back and forth quite a lot. But I think overall it painted the mother in a worse light than the daughter and really the mother's biggest crime was kind of caring for her daughter too much and making bad choices as a result of that. But I think that that's probably what's at the core of people potentially disliking this episode.
Yeah, maybe it probably hits too close to home. For some folks, maybe not, you know, for others. I think overall what's impressive just about Black Mirror is this, I'm going to keep talking about this balancing act. Like I think if they had gone too far in either direction, I would not have enjoyed Archangel nearly as much. We're just removing genitals from the equation in Callister. Like, it's funny. Yes. Haha. Genitals. But removing that from the equation, I think, makes that episode A, more focused and B, more palatable. I think if they kept genitals on the table, it would have gone to extremely dark places that would have just turned off many people. And also, I think, muddied the message. Yeah, exactly. The narrative that they were trying to make.
Well, and I think that's true kind of Black Mirror in general, is that each of these episodes, like, they do touch on really complex and interesting issues on top of the tech. And I think it really depends on, like, everyone sees episodes in different ways and gets different things out of them. As we've talked about now in the first two episodes of the season, like, you and I saw the USS Callister from two totally different perspectives because we've had two totally different life experiences. And I think Archangel is the same. Like, you and I are on pretty much the same page, but we don't have children. I'm sure being a parent and watching Archangel would give a totally different opinion and experience. And I think that because Black Mirror tends towards these social issues that aren't black and white and that people see in so many different ways, I think that's why Black Mirror is so controversial and so interesting. Is that it's not just like a Game of Thrones where it's like it's hard to say like what's a good episode and what's a bad episode necessarily. There's big overarching themes and everything else. Like, but with Black Mirror, it's very much like, okay, I, from my personal perspective, like this, didn't like this, this is dumb, this is this. And then someone else can have a totally opposite understanding or opinion on the season. And that to me is super interesting and why I think Black Mirror is so good. Because it can be seen so many different ways.
Yeah, yeah. Archangel was the one Katie and I probably talked the most about afterwards. For whatever reason, we just kept coming back to it.
Mm.
But I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And then there was Crocodile, which for me comes in last place. I this was my least favorite episode of Black Mirror. This one was directed by John Hillcoat, who did The Road. It was written, again, by Charlie Brooker. And I will say, I think this might be the most beautiful episode. The cinematography in this episode and the locale is just breathtaking.
Yeah. So this episode, I think, is my favorite of the episodes that I disliked. I have three episodes of the season that I really liked. Archangel was one, and we still haven't talked about the other two. And then I have three episodes that I really didn't like, and this was the best of those three, I think. My big hang up with it. So basically this episode was about a woman who, when she was younger, was involved in a car accident where a cyclist died. And she wasn't driving. Her boyfriend at the time, who was driving, convinced her essentially to help him get rid of the body. They were on like a remote road, like, so get rid of the body and cover it up, pretend it never happened. And then years later, he comes back when she has a successful career as an architect. And I think she was an architect. He comes back, says he's, you know, an alcoholic and he's, you know, trying to make amends and he wants to essentially confess, and she ends up killing him, which through a totally random set of events actually puts her in a position where a random traffic accident means that her memories can be used as evidence in that traffic accident court case. And the fact that she murdered someone in a hotel room, then she's trying to essentially erase all the evidence of that. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger as the show goes on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
she has to kill more and more people to cover her tracks.
Yeah, and it was the old lady that's followed the fly. Like, it was the old lady that follows a fly to turned up to 11.
So for this one, I mean, once the story got going, I was kind of like, yeah, okay. I tried to get on board. The tech was really interesting, but there's a really phenomenal episode in season one about memories. And basically, and I'm not gonna, you know, spoil the ending of that episode or anything, but the tech in that one is the idea that you have a little grain behind your ear that records literally everything you ever see or do. And at any point in time, you have a little remote and you can go back and either view your memories like privately or like project them on a TV, like you're Chromecasting your brain to the TV sort of thing.
Okay, Archangel kind of played with that too.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, this and timeline of everything that poor girl had ever seen.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So it was the same idea, except for these were all adults who were making the choice voluntarily, and it was also their choice whether or not they wanted to share their memories. So the entire History of You is a really, really good episode from season one that deals with memories and recall and sharing of those very personal moments. And so this episode, I felt like, dealt with similar tech, although much, much more like rudimentary. Like, it was almost like you could see that the tech, this was like the beginning of the tech that turned into the entire History of You, if that makes sense. Like, on the evolution of memory tech, this is right at the very beginning when we're first figuring it out, and it leads into being able to record your entire life.
Yeah, I don't need to pop a beer to show everyone my cool trip to the brewery.
So I thought the tech was really interesting, but what I couldn't wrap my head around was the main character and her motivations, because, like,
she didn't seem to have any.
Well, I mean, originally when the manslaughter took place, because it was an accident. They didn't see him. They didn't mean to run him over. They didn't know him. Like, it wasn't full on murder, right? Mm-hmm. So it was an accident. She didn't want to cover it up in the first place. She wasn't driving. She wasn't at fault, and like wanted to report what had happened and kept saying, oh, we can't leave him here. We can't leave him here. She was talked into dumping the body. So now she would rather become a murderer than just tell the truth that she wanted to when she was younger. Like, I would think you're older, you're wiser, you're professional, you're clearly very intelligent. I do not understand the logic there. At all. Frankly, I'm surprised she wasn't the one in the story that was, you know, years later being like, I can't live with this. We need to tell the truth. Like,
right,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I just couldn't wrap my head around that.
Yeah, I didn't buy the turn, really, is what it boils down to. I didn't buy the turn. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that there's counterpoints to it, but overall I just didn't dig the narrative structure. I wish we had come in with what was the character's name? Shazia Akhen, played by Kiran Saniya-Sawar. I wish we just focused on her character or came in through that from the get-go, because her scenes and her trying to walk back this insurance claim with a pizza delivery android cart thing was really fascinating. And I really liked these little vignettes that we got of the different people that she was interviewing. I loved the one with the dude in the apartment who's like, oh man, I was totally spying on this hot naked dude. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Like, and they did a really good job of selling the concept of this and why certain people would be averse to it. And me personally, and this is totally like armchair, like notes and rewriting, but this would have been a lot more compelling if we started there and we didn't know that there was a murder. And you eventually just end up with her finding the murderer out in the middle of nowhere and shit hits the fan. I think I would have been
like almost as if the episode had been flipped. So the main focus of the episode was the insurance claim. And then we ended up with all the information about all the string of murders and stuff, or like even if the string of murders happened at the end still, but getting all the background about the woman instead of making her the focus, making the insurance claim the focus, I think you're right, would have been more impactful, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I didn't believe the motivations of the architect, I feel like that was because we had seen the original murder scene and so we were like too close to her. And yes, she had a career. Yes, she had a family. And I guess she was worried about losing them. That was the point that we were supposed to understand. But I'm just like, with what her actual involvement was, like maybe if she had been driving the car, I don't know. But there was just something about that motivation I just did not believe. Like, even if, like, after all of it, like her crime would have been like not reporting the accident and like desecration of a corpse, maybe. I don't know, like I don't know all of the laws and all of the places, but I mean the worst thing that happened was manslaughter, so, and it wasn't, she wasn't responsible for that.
Mark,
she just kind of like we were supposed to believe that that would just totally ruin her career, and maybe it would. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it would. I would like everyone to just make a quick note for me, please. Mark this down as the day that Jocelyn Moffat said the worst thing that happened was manslaughter. Please write that down.
You know what I mean?
Yes, like, I know what you're getting at.
She went on a crazy like Bonnie and Clyde killing spree when she was 17. Like,
right. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, people can just snap, and maybe it's more realistic that she's not this like conniving serial killer type of thing, and it just kind of happens out of nowhere. But it was not compelling for me.
Yeah, I just didn't believe that any sane person, and maybe that's the point. Maybe she was supposed to be insane. I don't know, but I just didn't believe that, you know, a random person could be driven to that with so little motivation, I guess. I don't know. I just didn't believe it.
Yeah.
But like I say, it wasn't the tech that I didn't believe. It was the motivations of the main character in the story that I didn't believe. And I might have been more on board, Garrett. You're right. If they had focused on the insurance claim as opposed to, and like putting those puzzle pieces together, as opposed to giving us so much information about the killer, because the killer wasn't the important part of the story, really, I guess. I don't know.
No, I think it would have been more fun to play with the pieces of all of these different accounts of this seemingly innocuous insurance claim. But
but
you start buying in because some of them get cagey, some of them willingly give their memory up. And then imagine if you didn't know she killed her, she gets there and she's being cagey and you're like, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe she was legitimately watching pornography.
Yeah,
and then then the turn comes. We're like, oh my god, she strangled a man to death in her like
right
to
there.
Me,
and then that would be, you know, shocking and compelling and, you know, worth pursuing at that point. But yeah, you're right, because like you knew it was coming and you knew that she wasn't really going to get away from it. And, you know, I don't know. There's just so much that,
maybe it comes down to like, since you know, she's a killer. And when, the character of Shazia is going out there, there's that tension. You're like, oh god, she's going into the lion's den. I mean, you can make that argument, but for me, it just didn't work. It didn't work as well.
But you kind of still knew what was going to happen, right?
Like, I think I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so
and then finally, like, my last point was like this episode just made me angry when she kills the baby. I can't deal with violence against children. When I see that in fiction, it just apparently crosses the line.
It seems like the cheap thrill,
yeah,
right?
I'm not even a parent. I'm not even that keen on having kids, but violence against children really bothers me.
Yeah.
And not only did they do that, but then they throw in this little extra fuck you of, oh, the child was born blind. I'm just like, fuck you, writers.
Yeah.
you could have shown that in a much more creative way rather than just like two detectives like, yeah, poor thing. So kid dies for no reason on top of that. And they don't even show that the child is blind in a respectful way. They just it's a nonchalant like, oh, isn't this shocking,
throw it in there as a one more fuck you to the audience.
Right this was the part where like this would have been like if there was rape in Callister, or if there was I forget now my point in Archangel, but if it seemed shock for shock's sake, and it just really annoyed me, especially with what I think was the quality of every other episode in this season. But nonetheless, overall, just didn't care for it. But man, I could watch those panning shots of those vistas all day long.
Oh yeah, it was a beautiful setting for sure.
Yeah, but poof, rough one for me.
Well, and I feel like they followed up quite a rough episode with one that I think we both agree is, if not our favorite, at least our second favorite. Like these, I have a hard time choosing between episode 4 and episode 6 in terms of my favorites of the season. And they took a really dark, really sad, really, like, shocking episode and then followed it up with, I think, something that would actually, like, it had a happy ending, Garrett! This doesn't happen! And not even just like, there's some justice in the world. Like, happy ending!
Just straight up happy ending, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
And it was a cute episode. It was, like, a totally different tone from the two episodes around episode 3 and episode 5. Like, Hang the DJ was totally different in tone.
Yeah. Although I kept thinking it was about to go to a dark place, but that's kind of the twist at the end, is that no, it was all part of the plan. But yeah, my God, following up Crocodile with Hang the DJ, it was just like, hey, if does child murder get you down? Well, I've got a shock of sugar to your system. Yeah, exactly. Have what hit me as a very effective love story.
Yeah.
So this one was directed by Tim Van Patten, who has basically directed one, if not multiple episodes of just about every HBO series you probably care about. Again, written by Charlie Brooker. And this episode completely stole my heart. I was angry at it at parts in ways where I have been angry in actual relationships in my past. It gave me warm fuzzies in ways that actual relationships from my past and currently, because I married the woman I love more than anything in this world, has done. I adored this episode. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah. The thing that I liked about it the most is that I didn't figure out what was actually going on until it was revealed, which is something that doesn't usually happen to me in pop culture. I think we've talked about it on the show before. The way that I consume entertainment is usually I'm trying to figure out exactly where the story is going, and I'm trying to find all the clues and solve the mysteries. Even if there is no mystery, I'm just trying to figure out where it's going to go. So the fact that I didn't figure out what was going on until they revealed it means they did a great job with this episode. I spent the whole entire time. So basically what happens is they've got this like world that they live in, which is which they're not allowed to go outside. Everyone is adults. So there's no kids. There's no old people. They're all like of dating age. And basically they live in this enclosed space, but they don't tell you why or give you any information about like the greater society. They don't tell you where you go once you get paired off, but essentially you get put up with or like matched up with a partner, and then you have to try to figure out like if you're actually compatible. You have a certain amount of time for your relationship. You get sent to a little house. It could be like in this case, our two main characters have a 12-hour one-night stand. And then they have to part ways afterwards, as then they get matched up with other people.
They don't even bang, Jocelyn. Use a term from the 90s, they don't even bang. Like, is it a one night stand? It's a one night sleepover. That's what it is.
Yeah, they had a sleepover party. There you go.
Yeah. Also, now, by the way, because you talked about the memory tech, maybe be like Crocodile being the earliest version of something. I'm like, oh my God! Now I think Hang the DJ's tech is from the Callister episode.
Well, you can actually see the secretary in the Callister episode when she's on her phone sitting at the front desk at very, very close to the beginning of the episode. You can actually see the app open on her phone. Is
oh,
the
my God.
App.
Oh, oh. Mind blown. Mind blown.
So,
okay, cool.
So yeah, spoilers. Hang the DJ is about a dating app. But I spent the whole time trying to figure out, like, what kind of, like, where did they go once they pair off? Like, what kind of a society uses this, like, weird way of pairing people up? Like, what's even happening right now? I don't understand.
I had all these questions, too. And the thing I liked about it is it doesn't explicitly state any of the things that you just mentioned. You kind of just pick it up.
Yes.
Like, over the course of the episode and kind of start to infer it. They really only mention, like, going over the wall very late, very close to the climax of the entire episode.
Yeah. So, in the end, all it is that these are basically characters in a simulation inside of a dating app that, in the end, produce a, like, compatibility match for these two characters. I was just like, that was my brain exploding.
I mean they do, I think they tip their hat pretty, like, almost like immediately halfway through it when they're talking about skipping stones. I mean, they tip their hat pretty heavily, like, I think this is a simulation and we're just, you know, running this over and over again kind of thing. And in my head I'm like, oh, it could be a red herring, but I find it unlikely in a show like Black Mirror that they would make a statement like that and then not actually do something with it. I just don't know what the hell they are going. If this is a simulation, what is the point?
Right, exactly. And I was just like, I totally just shrugged that off because Amy, so the girl who says, oh, do you think we're in a simulation? Like, that, I feel like that's just, they made that out to be so part of her character. Because, I mean, like, I've had friends that have said that to me before, like, just, like, really, like, just weird, quirky thing. Like, oh, do you think we're actually in a simulation? Or, you know, like, just...
Well, that's because we are, Jocelyn. You're just...
Real
you're
outside just, the box type thinking.
Yeah, we are in a simulation, and you're clearly just, you took the blue pill.
It's like when you're, just when you're having these, like, you're passing the time with someone, they don't have jobs, and it's especially... what happens is that these two characters get matched up together again and they decide they're not going to look because they've been, like, kind of always thinking about each other and they've been bumping into each other. So they just decided they weren't going to look and see how long their relationship was going to last. They were just going to enjoy it while they could. So they were having a lot of these, like, one-off fun, like, existential type conversations. And that was one of the things that she said. And I was like, I can't skip stones. My stones fall in the water once every time. That doesn't mean I'm in a simulation. It means I'm shit at skipping stones. So I was just like, that's just how good she is at skipping stones. That's her level of skill.
My equivalent would be like throwing a football. Like, I can't throw a football. I wouldn't be able to find out it was a simulation. Total shit at it.
Yeah, so I totally didn't pick up on that at all. I just thought it was one of the fun, quirky conversations that she was bringing up because that was very much her character, right? She was fun and quirky. He was a little bit, like, shy and quiet, respectful and stuff. Like,
well, he's kind of goofy.
Goofy. Yeah, that's another. Yeah, that's another good word for him.
But the other thing that's interesting is there was a red herring, and that was all the other tech, like these weird little automated cars that bring you up to these stupid little love shacks with automated doors and boring ass looking swings out front. Like, because after Crocodile, which just had me sitting there forever going, what's the point of this episode? What's the tech? What's the hook? It just doesn't show up until so late. Where this one, I'm like, oh, I can see the tech around me. Okay, it's like this, it's like they just took Tinder and ran with it. And I don't know. I've never used Tinder. I don't understand how you kids are hooking up nowadays. But then you're like, no, well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. It's like it's this other layer, and I just blew my mind. I loved it. It was just so charming and funny, and had so much heart. And was exactly the palate cleanser I needed after Crocodile.
Well, and see, again, and this is why I was sitting there trying to figure out what kind of world and government could get away with it, even if it was like a Tinder to the extreme kind of thing. It's like, is this just how we all go to mate now? Is there some sort of like, you have to find your soulmate because we need to repopulate the earth? Or like, I was just like, what the hell happened in the outside world to make this happen? I thought that the tech hook, and I was surprised like that the episode kind of went on as long as it did the way that it did, because I was just like, when are we getting the dystopian future thing? Like, when are we going to hear more about what's going on outside?
When does the other boot drop? Because,
oh, wait, that's not the story at all.
Yeah. I was so mad at this when it was keeping the two main characters apart. I was so mad. I'm like, no, society should never get to this point. This is not how you meet people. Like, I was so mad at it. And then by the very end of it, it was like, even Black Mirror was going like, oh, no, that'd be crazy. We'll never be that dumb.
Yeah. Don't worry, guys. It's all a simulation. Like, and then so the final scene where the happy ending comes in is in the bar. And basically what's happening is the two main characters were in the same bar together. So then the app was like, oh, hey, you're in the same bar. Let us run 1,000 simulations and see how compatible you are. At which point they get a ding, 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 like 99.8% compatible or something. Yep. And we get the smile across the room and we get the warm fuzzies.
Yeah. That made me think of it too. I'm like, I wonder what my other simulations look like. I'm pretty sure that 1.2% of the time I might just run off with Kyle. But the other 98.9% of the time, Katie and I just kill everyone else. We burn it all down.
Wow, that escalated quickly.
If I was stuck in a weird dystopian Hunger Games-esque scenario, I like to think that Katie and I just blow it all up. We just Fight Club that shit. As the Pixies play in the background. It'd be wonderful. But yeah, man, I loved this episode so very, very much. And I don't know, it's like, when I think of it as part of the entire package, I'm like, was I just so skewed towards this because it was so delightfully fun compared to everything else? Not that I didn't enjoy the other episodes, but they're some heavy shit in most of these episodes of Black Mirror. And this one was like, I don't know, man. It just made me happy. I'm a sappy human being, if anyone hasn't picked up on this, by the way. So, anyway, next episode, Metalhead, directed by David Slade, who did 30 Days a Night, Hard Candy, Hannibal, and American Gods. Worked on, by the way, the Hannibal TV show, not the Hannibal movie. Mm. Hannibal TV show is amazing and one of my favorite things ever. This was fun, but I also thought kind of not inconsequential to the six episodes.
Yeah, Metalhead for me was I didn't like it. This is like, this would have been the bottom of my list had I had different feelings about USS Callister, as most people do. Most people tend to put Callister at the top of the list for this season. But yeah, for me, Metalhead would be at the bottom had I had those same feelings about Callister. For me, Callister's at the bottom. But Metalhead was just I mean, it was kind of interesting. I feel like had it been an episode in a whole season about this like apocalypse robot future, then I probably would have said it was a fine episode. If there was a whole show called Metalhead, then this would have been an okay installment. But as a standalone Black Mirror episode, the thing that I've always liked about the show is that you can see the lines they're drawing, like I mentioned off the top of the show, between like where we are now and the future tech and everything. There's a reason for everything that happens, and it's usually still based in our world. So, you know, there's those touchstones, and Metalhead didn't have any of that. And I spent the whole entire time, first of all, I felt like this episode went on forever, and there were some super boring part. Like at one point you're literally watching the lady sit in a tree waiting for the robot's battery to die. Like, oh my God, it drug on so long.
It is a little slow. I will give you that.
So slow. And so the whole time it's being super slow, I'm just sitting there going, why? Why? Why?
We never get the why.
We don't ever get the why. There's no payoff. There's no information about like how this robot dog apocalypse happened. We don't understand the other characters in the world because most of them die, right? Right off the very beginning. So we've got one character left off the very beginning who is there trying to get something out of a warehouse for another one of the survivors. They don't ever talk about why they're there risking their lives. And then the big reveal at the end is that it was for a teddy bear. And not only is it for a teddy bear, but why the hell are the robot dogs guarding teddy bears? I don't understand any of this, Garrett.
Neither do I. So my thought on this is like really well shot. I'm a sucker for black and white. I'm a sucker for a good like survival story. That's kind of gritty and takes its time. I like the meandering. I understand everything they were going for here, and I think it was really well executed. But it's Black Mirror, and Black Mirror is more clever than this. Yes. It's just
I feel like this could have been an episode of The Walking Dead.
It could have been an episode of anything. The dog robot thing could have been any monster, and you could have had the exact same story, and that's what bothered me about it.
Yeah, that's true.
I liked it. I thought it was a fun design. It was a little like Gremlin-esque quality to it. Oh my God. The moment where it enters the house and attaches a knife to its severed limb and starts spinning around. Kate and I just started losing it. We're losing our mind. It was so unintentionally funny to me because Katie's favorite movie in the world is Gremlins.
Okay.
She loves Gremlins. And we're both watching this like, it's a freaking gremlin. It's that stupid crab meme with the crab that had the picked up a knife and was slicing at a guy in the kitchen. Like, I was dying. I was rolling on the floor. And I love that part. But like on the serious note, I thought it was a super cool design. I thought they did a good job with it. And I'm sure black and white let them really get away with a lot of CG. But just over, I just wanted a little more. I wanted a little more of like you said, why? I mean, if this was a standalone movie, that's fine. It clearly wasn't interested in the answer. Every other episode of Black Mirror was very interested in the setup for the scenario it is showing you. And this one
right,
wasn't.
Because I feel like for the most part, and I know we just talked about Hang the DJ, which I don't necessarily think is any kind of potential cautionary tale. But for the most part, Black Mirror episodes tend to have lessons and tend to be cautionary tales or at least informative. And I feel like because we had no idea like how we got there or why anything was happening, I didn't know what I was supposed to take away from this episode. Like, never make potentially murderous robot dogs. Okay.
Which Boston Dynamics is doing right now. So good on you, Boston Dynamics. Please stop. What you are making is creepy and will be the death of us all.
Like, I guess, were they just supposed to be like guard dogs that were like guarding warehouses of everything because theft or something? Maybe they wanted us to draw our own conclusions and figure out those that like whatever would be most meaningful to me as the viewer. But I don't know. I felt like had it been anything but teddy bear, if it had been like medical supplies or something, I would have been like, okay.
It felt like the middle finger. It was like the kid being blind and crocodile. It's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant. Why did you even put that there? You just put that there for this. It felt cheap, like this cheap little gut punch of, oh, look how futile this whole thing was. And it's like, no, screw you. You can do better than this. And my point is they have in this season, even with Crocodile, which I didn't like.
Yeah.
I thought that at least a better job of setting up this particular hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just feel like I wasn't trained. I wasn't trained. Like four episodes in a row trained me like, we will explain to you why what you are watching is happening. And then we get the metalhead and they're just like, hey, man, those Boston Dynamic robots are creepy, right? Let's just do an hour long episode of one of those things trying to kill somebody. And I'm like, you're not wrong. They are creepy and they will probably kill us. But why? Why, Jocelyn?
Yep.
And once we got to Black Museum, I was thinking maybe we got an answer because this kind of tied all of Black Mirror together into the same universe, at least in a very obvious way. Obviously there's, Easter eggs in other episodes, like you mentioned, the dating app being in Callister, but we get to Black Museum, which, directed by, Colm McCarthy, and written by Charlie Brooker with a credit going to Penn Jillette for his, short story, Pain Addict. Which was
interesting.
A short story.
That was
story
one of the shorts,
within the story. Stars Douglas Hodge as Rollo Haynes and Letitia Wright as Nish. We saw her as Shuri in Black Panther, where she stole my heart. What an awesome character.
I saw this before I knew she was in Black Panther, and obviously before I saw Black Panther. And it made me love Black Panther even more because I was like, oh, my God, she kicked so much ass in Black Mirror that I am totally on board with Shuri. As soon as I saw her, I was like, yes.
Yeah, and she's a way too capable techie in both.
Yes. Like, yeah.
Both. I mean, very different characters, but yeah, overall. So this felt like the episode I had just been waiting for. I'd heard so much about Black Mirror. It had just never watched it for whatever reason. Again, I think it's just my aversion to, like, I didn't think I would get sucked in because there's no through line. Mm-hmm. So just kept avoiding it, avoiding it. I like Twilight Zone, don't get me wrong, but it's not something I like would go and binge. But so I watched this and this just felt like what I always thought Black Mirror was going to be. This was very Twilight Zone-esque, very creepy. I love the trope of this. Of the guy that kind of knows how the world works and he's going to regale you with these effed up stories. I really was just digging on Douglas Hodge this whole episode. And then I was thinking about it and it hit me. He's kind of doing, like the way he talks, it kind of sounds like Heath Ledger's Joker. But if he was a carny wearing a vest... like he's kind of in the back of his throat the whole time like this. And even when he gets excited, he's not yelling.
That's really creepy, Garrett. Don't ever do that again.
It's a Tom Waits impression. Just go watch Tom Waits interviews. But this was just fun. And it was the kind of like Tales from the Crypt, Are You Afraid of the Dark, like creepy roadside stand that I was waiting for.
Yeah, so Black Museum, so there is there are so many Easter eggs in this episode because essentially it is like the Museum of Black Mirror, and it becomes even more interesting because Black Mirror technically hasn't been renewed. So this could work as a kind of really good series finale because you kind of there were throwbacks to all the episodes except the robot dog episode, but there were throwbacks to all the episodes. There was also throwbacks to episodes from previous seasons. So there was the one I can remember right off the top of my head, though I'm sure that there were, I know that there were more, was at one point she walks by a little mechanical bee, which is an episode from, I think that was season one, it might have been season two, but it was one of the first two original before Netflix picked it up, I think. And it, again, that episode was so good. So yeah, there were throwbacks to a whole bunch of Black Mirror stories. And then they had these like three little shorts that culminated and all came together at the end to show us why Nish was actually there. And the stories in and of themselves were told in a way that I really enjoyed. They got the point across, and obviously Rollo Hayton's, who is played by Douglas Hodge, was a great narrator because he definitely had that like creep factor going on, and kind of like he was involved with all these things because he's the big tech guy, and he's kind of like proud of his accomplishments, even though they are horrific. And so yeah, to see those kind of all come together really felt like a love letter to Black Museum, Black Mirror. And there were also exhibits in and around the museum of things that we haven't seen yet. So it's kind of like, well, are those hints at what could be Black Mirror season 5? Like, is this stuff that they're toying around with that they might want to do eventually? Like, it just, I mean, Black Museum is like, if you've watched all of Black Mirror, you're going to get so much out of this episode.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And in the beginning, like, too, I'm like, I'm a little creeped out by the character of Rollo Haynes, but I think I'm supposed to like him. And then he tells us her story. I'm like, nope, I'm supposed to hate this guy.
Yes.
But I'm having fun hating him. He's fun.
Yes.
He's like, it's, again, kind of Joker-esque. It's like, well, I'm not rooting for the Joker, but I can't wait until he's on screen again.
Yeah, and the thing that I really loved about all of this is I spent the majority of the episode being very, very worried for the character of Nish, because basically she is driving across the country, or that's what we're kind of led to believe, and she, you know, stops at a, air quotes, gas station, but I think it was actually like an electrical thing. She had to recharge her car anyways and kill some time, so she goes over to this museum, seemingly like, well, it's here. I, you know, might as well go check it out. And with this super tech creep dude, you're worried for her and what might potentially happen to her. At least I was. Did you get that feeling? Like,
I don't know, man. I was
like, she might become an exhibit, or he might like
it kept going back and forth.
Go mad scientist on her.
It kept going back and forth for me, really. Like, cause like by the name of it and by the summary, I'm like, oh, it's a museum about the stuff in Black Mirror. So I kind of knew that going in just from the summary. And then she shows up and she like looks at it almost as if it just happens to be there. And she kind of gives it a like, oh, it's a racially charged museum. And I'm thinking like, No, it's not. It's about Black Mirror. And then she gets in it. And much like every episode so far, it's like, no, it's not. But yes, like it's about Black Mirror. But there's also a horrifying tale of racial. I don't even know where to go with this.
Yeah, I don't even know what to call it.
Yeah, it's just. Oof. And they don't even really answer, I guess. They don't straight up point to Rollo Haynes as being like, yeah, this guy was a racist. He just wanted to like torture the AI of a black man on death row for the rest of eternity. But they do bring up the fact that he, like, once the attendance to the museum dried up, he just started like letting in neo-Nazis that want to get their rocks off for incredible sums of money so he could keep the doors open.
Exactly. So I feel like he he's a character you're not supposed to like. Definitely. He's done some horrible, horrible things. And in the beginning, it was just this kind of like torture porn sort of thing for people who were heavily invested in or interested in the actual crime that this guy committed. And then those people eventually fell off. And then it turned into this very racially charged, like, neo-Nazi thing.
Yeah, and we've talked so much about crossing lines in this episode of Embrace the Spoilers, and that's where it kind of crosses the line for me. But in a good way, in that the fate of Rollo Haynes was very satisfying for me. Because for me, sympathizing with Nazis in any way, shape, or form is a quick way for me to just be like, yeah, I don't care what happens to you. You're a terrible person.
I have to agree.
Yeah. And so, yeah, the whole time I'm like, oh, man, I'm really loving Rollo Haynes as a character. He's just fun, even though he's a horrible person. But when it gets to the point where she's basically reading him as like the riot act of all the terrible things he's done, and she mentions, you know, letting straight up racists in that are only there for that exhibit, I'm just like, yeah, kill this man.
Right. So then that's when we get the big turn in the episode, right? So that's when we find out that Nish was planning on being there the whole time, and that's actually her father, and she's come to essentially save him, because what's happened is that there is an AI that's essentially imprinted with his personality, which you can read as soul, and basically being tortured to the point that he's not even himself anymore, because he's electrocuted multiple times a day for years and years and years. And so it's made him a vegetable, basically, or made the AI a vegetable. And it kind of incorporates all of the little mini stories that we saw, is basically taking the idea of pain and transferring that between people, then looking at the idea of taking a consciousness and putting it in something else. So kind of like preserving someone who's going to die and keeping them alive by transferring their brain to something else and then what was the third one? I've totally forgotten now.
I'm blanking as well. The teddy bear thing.
Yeah, that was the brain consciousness bear thing, though. Okay. Yeah.
Well, no, there was only two short stories, right? Oh my god, I'm already blanking.
I'm sure there were three. But basically, all three of those together came up to, like, culminated in this exhibit at the back, and she just basically turns it on his head, and that's the whole point of the story. But then we get the big reveal at the end that she not only was there to save her father, but also has her mother living in her head as a consciousness still. Like, I can't imagine what it'd be like to have my mother in my head. Like, after this whole like revenge thing is over, like, how long is that actually gonna last? Because I couldn't have my mother in my head for the rest of forever. I'm sorry, Mom. I love you to death, but Nope.
Yeah, no. I just pulled back up the Wikipedia shortened version. It looks like there were only two short stories.
Man, I could have sworn there were three.
I think that was weird. I think that was it. It was the doctor who gets way too into pain, and the wife inside the mind of her husband, basically. But yeah, and again, proving I'm a pervert. Like, my brain immediately goes to, what happens the first time this guy goes to do personal things?
Personal things. Oh my god.
And it goes there. It goes there very quickly.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what happens when the first time this guy like checks out some girl's butt? And it happens in an elevator. And I'm like, I'm a horrible person. This show is judging me.
You just need to check out Les' butt.
Oh, it was. I felt, I don't know. This, I felt very judged by Black Mirror, but I still enjoyed the ride. Overall, I even enjoyed the short stories in here. Like, both of them were, oh man, the one with the doctor was so grotesque. Like, I kind of, I'm disturbed by how much I enjoyed it, but I like Saw movies and I like horror films. So I was kind of like, yeah, what a horrifying concept this is. And then I found out it was written by Penn Jillette. I'm like, okay. Never look at him the same way again.
I loved the second one, actually. I think it was, I prefer, although like I loved the first short story as well. But yeah, the second one, I don't know why, like it just, I really enjoyed that idea because you could totally see the evolution of that one where it's like, okay, you've got these two people, they fall in love, they're having a kid, they're, you know, everything's perfect until one day, bam, something terrible happens and one of the two of them dies. And it's just like, well, what do we do now? And in that moment of pain and grief, like, yes, you want to save them. Of course you want to save them and you'll do anything for them to let them actually like live a life. So then you get this is where the crazy tech comes in of being able to actually extract a consciousness and basically upload it into somebody else's brain. And but then, of course, you're sharing your body with another person. It's a crazy concept, but for me, it just worked. And then it just ends in such a tragic way with them. Oh, my God. Putting her in the bear or monkey or whatever the
monkey.
Hell it was.
It was an actual monkey. Like, Katie and I were watching this. Again, this is like super personal, but like, Katie hates monkeys. She can't stand it. Like our chihuahuas have a couple monkey toys, and every time she sees them, she's like, any other toy, go grab any other toy. This is a joke. I don't like monkeys either. They throw poo at you at the zoo. So it's just a really stupid running gag between Katie and I. And then it goes to that, and Katie's just like, I would haunt you for the rest of your days if you stuck my consciousness in a monkey of all things.
And yeah, because so, and this is another, like they did play a lot with kind of AI and consciousness and souls and a lot of that just throughout the season of Black Mirror. And it was really sad because like the monkey is in the museum. So it's like, you have no real concept of how much time has passed other than the monkey looks a little bit old and battered now. And it's like, there's a person who literally can't die just sitting in that, you know, memory chip that's in that toy. And the only way that she can communicate is, you know, like, monkey sad, monkey loves you. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
My God.
Of course, then my brain goes different places when we learn that, like, the mother is inside the character of Nish. And I'm just like, well, maybe again, because it kind of seems like everything had tied together now, and a lot of this tech is kind of out in the world from other episodes. I'm like, well, maybe she goes home and she puts the little thing on the side of her head from Callister, and her mom could go hang out in the game world. And but when she's done with that, she can just take her mom with her. Like, maybe they've improved upon it.
Yeah, I hope there's some kind of plan, because otherwise I can see Nish's mom ending up in a monkey too.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, you're not meant to share that level of everything with another person. Like, no matter how close your relationships are, you're still not meant to share every thought and moment and feeling with another person. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Definitely. Retreading some of the themes from Archangel as well.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, and then time and time again over the course of Black Mirror, this is what I really enjoyed, was almost playing it like in my head as it's unfolding as my own little personal tabletop RPG. Like, well, what would I do? And in this one, I'm with you. Like, yeah, like if my wife was in a coma and it was never talk to her again or have her actual consciousness speaking to me in my head, I would probably jump on that without thinking.
Yeah, me too, sure. Like, that's what I mean. You can see those touchstones of moments where you're like, yes, I would absolutely make this decision. Whether it's like, obviously in the end, it was a bad decision, but I think it's the decision that anyone who's ever lost a loved one would make. Like,
yeah.
The option of never speaking to a loved one again or having them around still.
I kind of want a comedy spin on this one little vignette, though, where it's like, where does it end? I want someone with like their both sets of grandparents, one parent.
Like just consciousnesses on top of consciousnesses on top of consciousnesses till you've got like 10 generations of people in your head.
Maybe it's because I've been watching Seinfeld, but the idea of like two really judgmental parents in your head, like on top of maybe like a spouse, like so just no matter what you do, someone's judging you.
Someone's mad at you. Oh, I love it. That's what we should. We should have the Black Mirror spoof show. Where we just take these to their obvious ridiculous comic conclusions.
Some of these there's just nothing fun in it, but
yeah, some of them it can't be done, but
yeah, and that's why I'm focusing on this one vignette, because the climax of this with the character, you know, finding out that Nisha's father is the AI inmate, and I need to really reconsider my thoughts on Callister, because yeah, by the end of this series, you're just like, yeah, no, AI are basically people with how realistic it is in the world of Black Mirror.
Right. These are all of the AIs are based on people and have the memories and experiences of people. And I think for me, that's where the line is drawn. These aren't artificially created intelligences anymore. They are fully formed human intelligences that are preserved in an artificial way.
So let me ask you this, Joss. This is the cool, this is what I like about Black Mirror. If tomorrow Google or Apple or someone announces that you can upload your brain to the cloud so that when you die, you live on, would you consider that an extension of yourself, or would you consider that just some weird hokey thing?
Oh yeah, no, that's still me.
Okay.
When I think about how that would happen, it's like I would close my eyes and then open them and be a cyborg, but I'd still be me.
Yeah, when I think think about it in the case of the Callister, where you're still walking around, but there's an AI version of you. Like when your walking around self dies, it's not like you get ported to the consciousness of the AI copy. So that's where my brain disconnects, because I'm like, no, well, I'm still dead. Like I'm still dead. And there might be a copy of me.
So I guess I would be like, in my head, where I would get on board with it is if it was like every 12 hours or something, my consciousness is like re-uploaded. And then when I die, then I just wake up like, or my like robot version wakes up. Do you know what I mean? Like I just continue being.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I still have all my own memories and everything else. So I just like wouldn't remember at most 11 hours and 59 minutes.
Yeah.
And then yeah, that's still me. Sure. Why that like my experiences and my memories are what makes me me.
You're blowing my mind. I feel like we need to be like in a hazy college room dorm. Like, whoa, man. And then someone will be like, the color I see is not the same color you see when we're talking about blue. And be like, "Oh my god." But this is the really fun part about Black Mirror, is having these completely bonkers ass conversations about these hypotheticals. But overall, coming back to Black Museum, I really enjoyed this episode. The fun, I hesitate to use the word fun, but the fun first half where we're kind of it just enjoying this really bizarre character of Rolo and these vignettes. I feel like it should have been undercut by the gravity of the final act, but it wasn't. Like it just works. And again, I think it's helped by the fact that we're locked in to know that we're going to get these kind of one-off stories. So even though two of them were injected in here, it didn't lessen the impact again, of that final act for me. It just, this right. whole thing, I enjoyed all the tropes that it hit. And then at the end, it had this, I think, a very poignant message. Even though, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like someone's going to walk away from this episode being like, Garrett seems really okay with people dying when they cross a certain line. In fiction.
Well, it's that feeling of justice, right? Yeah. Like it's the happy-ish ending at the end. And I really liked this episode because, like I said, it was such a love letter to Black Mirror. And if Black Mirror isn't actually renewed, then, you know, this would be a good stopping spot. I hope we get more. But if we don't, this kind of, as much as there can be loose ends when each episode is standalone anyway, like this kind of put a bow on most things, I think, and really just kind of wrapped up the season in what I think was a really effective way. So I liked it a lot. I thought it pulled some things together, and it was a much better season finale, I think, than season three's was. Not that season three's was bad. It's just this really felt like I would be satisfied if this was the end. I hope it's not, but it was very satisfying. So this and Hang the DJ are my two top episodes of this season.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think oddly enough, even though it's clearly not the overall flavor of Black Mirror, I think Hang the DJ was my favorite. And then I think I might go Archangel, and then I think I'll go Black Museum.
Mm.
And then Callister under that. And then Metalhead and Crocodile can just get out of here.
I find it really interesting because I feel like we liked all the same sort of things and had a lot of the same sort of opinions, but our order of episode enjoyment is quite different. Because I mean, yeah, like Hang the DJ and Black Museum are my one and two, and so close that I can't even tell you which one is higher than the other. And then for me, from there, it went Archangel, then Crocodile, then Metalhead, and then Callister. So it's kind of interesting that we can, normally we're quite similar in our tastes for the most part. I mean, we disagree sometimes, but usually not on big things. So again, this is what I find so interesting about Black Mirror, is that because of the topics that they cover and the ways that they cover them, depending on your own views and experiences, you can see these things in a totally different light. So I think people are going to be talking about Black Mirror in general and this season in particular for quite a while to come, and I look forward to it. So also look forward to hearing from you guys at embracethespoilers@gmail.com.
yeah, write in, let us know what you think. I almost hope they don't make more, because again, I like the setup of the Black Museum as this collection of all things Black Mirror. I would have loved to see Rollo Haynes as a pseudo recurring character. Did you ever watch Are You Afraid of the Dark?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a 90s Nickelodeon live action show, very near and dear to my heart. They had a recurring character called Dr. Vank, who was just this creepy old man who was in some of the stories. Most of the stories had nothing to do with one another, but every now and then he would show back up and creep me the hell out. And as I was watching this, I was like, oh man, I could totally see there being one of these episodes maybe every other season. Like, we return to the Black Mirror, Rollo Haynes has some new crazy story for you. Again, though, the Nazi connection comes out, that I'm like, yep, drop the axe.
Yep. So,
but overall,
that doesn't mean that the Black Museum couldn't get a new proprietor or something.
It was on fire.
Oh, right,
the
right.
The last time we saw it. I guess we could do prequel, Black Museum prequel. I don't know.
Yeah.
They could maybe
play with it. But again, like I say, it hasn't actually been renewed. So we'll have to see how that actually plays out.
We will. I'm excited to see a Callister spinoff. Hopefully they get out Aaron Paul, who had a cameo at the end, which I very much enjoyed. But all right. Keep those emails coming. EmbraceTheSpoilers@gmail.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to hear more, check out patreon.com/UTS. We thank you for the support. But before we go, Joss, where else can folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. And if you have any interest whatsoever in Sea of Thieves, which is the new multiplayer online video game where you get to play a pirate from Rare, please do check out our 6-episode series. You can find episodes over on gamersinpodcast.com. Siv and I are talking all things Sea of Thieves to get you guys prepped for launch. So if you have any Sea of Thieves questions, that is the place to go and get them answered. We're really stoked about the game, and we hope you are too.
I'm Garrett Art on Twitter. Everything I do is at amove.tv. Go check out my solo show, The Angry Nerd, if you want to learn about some cocktail mixing stuff. Has nothing to do with this, but I am no expert, but I promise you, you will learn how to make at least a few tasty cocktails. So check that out. Anyways, that's going to wrap it up for this episode, to which I will say, monkey needs a hug. Thank you.